Fed nominee Janet Yellen supplies the tea leaves to read in advance.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Federal Reserve nominee Janet Yellen starts the confirmation process in front of the Senate Banking Committee in a few hours. The text of her prepared remarks is already out, and there are four key words in it. The Fed has, Yellen will say, more work to do. That might mean the Fed has more stimulus to do, and that's rallying stock markets today around the world. This morning, Yellen will also talk about openness at America's central bank. Marketplace's Adrian Hill has more on that.
Janet Yellen wants a more transparent Fed. In a speech at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business last year, she touted good communication.
Indeed, I hope that one of the legacies of this difficult period is a permanent advance in Federal Reserve transparency.
But what exactly she means by that word transparency is maybe not so clear to us regular folks or to our congressional representatives.
When Janet Yellen talks about transparency, she's talking about the Fed being much more clear about how it will act in the future.
Sarah Binder is a political science professor at George Washington University.
When members of Congress talk about transparency in the Fed, they mean something completely different.
They mean the inner workings of the Fed, the sausage factory tour, something Binder says that Yellen and Fed chairs past are far less interested in giving. Too much transparency can mean too little independence. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
I have some numbers here. Dow and S&P futures are up this morning so far, but the NASDAQ future is down. The FT 100 in London is up about 0.8%. Shares in the data networking company Cisco Systems are down about 11% in pre-market trading. The company expects sales will drop 10% this quarter, in part because Chinese customers are leery about buying American equipment after revelations of widespread spying by the American National Security Agency. In a couple of minutes, Walmart will say how much profit it made last quarter and perhaps offer some guidance about its prospects during the shopping season that is now upon us. The National Retail Federation projects that the average American shopper will spend $737.95 on holiday shopping. That's down 2% from last year. Gigi Dubin has more.
Retailers are using plenty of tricks to snap consumers out of their Thanksgiving food comas.
Some that they've done before, but this year it's on steroids.
That's Wendy Liebman, CEO of WSL Strategic Retail. Stores like Lowe's and Macy's are publishing sneak peeks at holiday deals online. Walmart's opening at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving. And many Old Navy stores open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. that day. Staggering the chaos makes for better crowd control, says Marshall Cohen, a retail analyst with the NPD Group.
So retailers are offering up the option for the consumer to be able to plan out where they're going to be, on what day, at what time, seeking what product at what price.
Walmart is posting store maps online, directing shoppers to popular items. But Cohen adds, crowds are good for retailers. Otherwise, shoppers assume the good deals must be somewhere else. I'm Gigi Dubin for Marketplace.
Venezuela has a terrible inflation problem. Consumer prices jumped 54% last month alone. Venezuelan President Maduro blames what he calls hoarding and speculation for this, and the steps he's taking in response are dramatic, you might say. Regular Marketplace contributor Enrique Acevedo has been following this. He's the anchorman and reporter at Univision. Enrique, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Well, let me get this straight. There's a chain in Venezuela called DACA. It's sort of like, think of it as like Best Buy. And he sent in the forces to be sure that prices came down?
Well, instead of using monetary policies to combat inflation, he says he's going to prohibit it. And he's calling the military and police forces to basically occupy stores in industries like textiles or toys, slicing the prices 70-80% off so people can get anything from plasma TVs to washing machines.
And people are doing what you and I would do. I mean, if someone slashes the prices down at the store, you'd probably line up.
As soon as the announcement came, They rushed into these stores, even with the police forces outside. There was chaos, of course, looting. And it's a natural reaction if you say you're going to slash off prices 60, 70% off in an economy that's struggling to get anything from flour to milk. People thought it was Christmas in November, basically.
Now, a central part of the underlying problem here are there are strict foreign exchange controls in Venezuela. The currency, the bolivar, officially is 6.3 to the dollar, but I understand there's a flourishing black market for dollars, and the prices in some of the stores are kind of geared to the black market price.
Well, yeah, the country, which devalued the bolivar by 32% in February, has been unable to arrest that decline, even on the black market. So this is at the center of what's going on in Venezuela, this currency exchange and the currency policy in Venezuela and the black market that controls it.
To what extent is this politics, do you think, Enrique? I understand there are elections for mayors across Venezuela in less than a month.
I think they use the economy, they use conflict to gain political advantage at the polls. And the opposition in Venezuela has denounced this. I think it's very political. If I had to say, I would say it's 100% political.
All right. Well, the president calls this an economic offensive against speculators. Enrique Acevedo, Univision journalist and anchorman, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And yesterday we talked to art critic Blake Gopnik about the impending Sotheby's auction of Andy Warhol's silver car crash, Double Disaster. The higher the price, the better the piece, Blake suggested to us. By that measure, it is a very fine picture. Last night, it went for $105 million, the most for a Warhol and the second highest ever for a contemporary work. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.